Welcome to JGL Law for You. This podcast is sponsored by Joseph Greenwald and Lake, a suburban Maryland law firm that has been representing clients throughout the DC metropolitan area and across the country for close to 50 years. JGL Law for You is a podcast by lawyers, yes, but not for lawyers only. On JGL Law for You, we will bring you up close and personal with our firm's lawyers and some special guests who will be discussing how to navigate the many legal processes, developments in the law, other current events, and how they may affect you, your family, or your business. Today, we're turning our attention to the world of residential real estate. We've got local dynamo Nareet Coombe of the agency. Nareet has been a licensed real estate agent since 2001. During that time, she has won countless awards and accolades. In 2014, she became the owner of RE/MAX Elite Services and built her business over the next 6 years to become the number one RE/MAX team in the state of Maryland and the number one real estate team in Maryland and the Washington, D.C. area. When offered the opportunity to become a managing partner of the agency, Nareet jumped at the chance to be part of this exciting, growing company that is redefining the business of real estate. Over the years, Nareet has built a reputation for offering precise market knowledge, delivering technological expertise, and bringing boundless energy and tactical negotiation skills to every aspect of her life. Nareet, welcome to our session today. Glad you could join us.
Hi, David. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, before we start talking about real estate, there's a little something interesting about your background that I'd like to hear a little bit about. You spent some time in the Israeli army, I understand.
Yes, I did. Actually, I came here to the U.S. After my military service, representing Israel on the anti-ballistic missile program and different unique explosives for military operations in urban terrain. So actually, I worked in defense arena for 11 years here in the U.S. and total of about 15 years.
Might be a crazy question, but I'd be interested to know how your experience in those areas affected your ability to do what you're doing now in the real estate market.
You know, it's actually quite amazing because you have to be a hard worker to do what I did, and you have to actually think outside the box and think quick and be creative. Also, really understand people right from the get-go, from the hello. I kind of tell a lot about you. So these kind of skills that I've earned along the years helped me a lot with real estate. It's been it helped me in my life in general, but yeah, in real estate for sure.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, I mean, here in the district and also in other areas, you know, people say you can't swing a cat without hitting a real estate agent, right? So it seems to me that you have to do something differently or find your own space to find the success that you found here in the DC area.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. So I always liked technology. I'm a technology person. I always were on top thinking about what the market is doing, why the market. I always looking at trends, looking at numbers, looking at graphs, thinking about the situation, how I can help my clients better, how I reach out to more clients, what to do with social media, what's the right way to do it, how to tackle it in so many ways, and being really helpful for clients. And at the end of the day, in real estate, you really, really need to look at the person in front of you and understand that person. See how you can help them, how you can help them find the right house for them, for their lifestyle, for their family. So you have to have so many aspects. You need to know technology, you need to understand market drives, what changes, realize it right from the get-go, what's going on and why. And then look at the psychology of things, of life, and especially COVID, there's so many things changing. How do you interpret that and how you morph yourself towards the new situation to help people? And then it's also understanding the core, the person in front of you, and how do I find them the right situation for them? Because a house is a house, but it's really a lifestyle. It's how you want to live your life in that house. It's so important. It's the core of your life.
So let's talk about the market a little bit and the effects on the market when it comes to the pandemic over the last 8 or 9 months. And we have a lot of clients, obviously, in our law firm, and there's a lot of folks out there who may be considering buying or selling. So I'd like to talk to you both from a buyer's perspective and from a seller's perspective in terms of how you work differently or how you strategize differently with either on a, with either side of that transaction. Let's start with a seller. You're representing a seller. How do you, you know, what do you look at? What do you do differently for your seller in this environment?
So can I just go back to what, how it all started in COVID and how it
really started? Sure.
So, because that's really important to understand.
Go back to whatever you want.
All right. It's important to understand the core of what's happened here. So in March, which is the spring market, right? The start of the big spring market where we have all the buyers looking to buy houses, we hit with COVID. And suddenly, we had no face masks, no sanitizers, no nothing. And people didn't know what to do and didn't want to bring anybody to their house because we were all in panic, right? We didn't want to go out. We didn't want to have anybody coming to my house and spread COVID in. And we didn't know how it's being spread. It was all a huge panic situation. So right at the head of the spring market, we had a stop where actually nobody wanted to list their houses. But we still had buyers out there because this is where buyers are starting to look at houses. So we had low inventory, no listings out there. This is number one. Then as it eased up, we all got used, we all had some face mask, whatever. We started having seeing listings in the market, but we had much more demand because buyers, now we have April, May, June, we have many more buyers coming into the market because it's the spring. Also, we had buyers that suddenly felt that if you didn't like your kitchen, you're stuck in your house for 2 or 3 months, now you hate your kitchen. You have to move. If you were in a townhouse and you have 3 kids in the house and you really need a yard, you can't stand yourself anymore, you want to move to a house with a yard. If you feel that you don't need to be in downtown anymore, I'm never going to go back to my office. I'm going to work in my office 2 days a week. That's it. And suddenly you want to move out of town, you know, out of the city. You want to have some space and bigger house and a yard. So there was all pent up demand. Now you need to have an office. Absolutely. You have to have an office because you work from home. You're going to forever going to work from home. You actually need 2 or 3 offices now because you need a Zoom room and you need to have office for yourself and office for your husband. So all these demands have been changing. And this, and it's very emotional real estate. So people suddenly cannot stand it, have to move, have to find a house. And so we have pent up demand. Interest rate is really, really low. So we should jump on it now, which is true. But we don't have listings. On the listing side, on the seller side, what happened is that I don't want to bring COVID to my house. I have little kids. I'm immune deficient. I am older person and I'm not going to move now. What am I going to move now? How am I going to move? Where to? I'm not want to have movers coming to my house. So you had about 25 to 30% of the market of people who are legitimately worried about having people coming to their house and not listing the house. So we had a huge shortage of listings, which created multiple offers and a very tough situation, which we'll talk about the buyers in a moment. So you asked me about sellers. So this is kind of in general what happened in the market. Sellers, this has never been better time in the market ever for sellers to sell a house because price is going up. Every next house is selling for more. We have multiple offers and it's such an emotional situation where I have to have the house. I will pay, I don't care. I'll pay 50, 60, whatever is needed. I want $1,000 over asking because I need to have a house. I'm done. I can't find any houses.
And the interest rates are low, right?
Yeah, David, you're right. You're right. Absolutely. So when your rates are so low, you can actually afford more, much more. And if rates will go up by 1%, it's about $100,000 on a sell price. So who, you know what I mean? It's a lot. So jumping on an opportunity to find the right house at the right interest rate, it's very smart for buyers to do. For sellers, the opportunity to be able to sell your house and having a buyer who is not going to drive you crazy on home inspection because they're waiving home inspection and they're not going to and drive you, they're going to let you do a rent back and stay in the house for longer, give you time to find another place. I mean, you get not just a good price, but also good terms.
So what do you do? Let me just toggle back to a second. So you've got that buyer who wants to move out of their townhome or out of their condo, or for whatever reason, they want a house where they have a home office. And what do you do to try to help them find what they want, given the fact that there's not a lot of stuff, not a lot of homes out on the market, not inventory, I guess?
So this is where technology comes important. And this is what we do is very, very important because you need to be creative. You need to scout the neighborhood. You need to talk to sellers. You need to look at, so there's trends out there. People sell, or in general, every 7 years, you kind of have turnover in this area for the housing market. So you're looking at those houses in the neighborhood your clients are looking and to see that they've kind of been there for 7+ years. You're looking to see how much they owe on a mortgage on the house so that you know that they're not upside down and they can actually sell their house. And maybe you're looking at their age, you're looking at the situation of the kids' age, and you scout the neighborhood for potential future sellers. And then this is where you approach them. You approach them and say, you know what? I have a great buyer who's looking in your neighborhood, desperately looking in your neighborhood. Are you looking to sell? Maybe your friend, your neighbor looking to sell, would love to talk to you. We've been successful that way by really scouting, but it's a needle in a haystack if you just start calling the whole neighborhood or sending mail for the whole neighborhood. But if you have the right technology and ability to actually hone it down to real potential future sellers, you can be really successful in that. So we've been doing that. We also been doing geofencing, which is another technology that we've done.
What's that?
You actually take a location, and let's say I want between Old Georgetown Road, Tuckerman Lane, to this, when you specific a neighborhood, specific location, and when you coming into that neighborhood, or if you live in that neighborhood, you'll get through online, you'll get from me, if you go on your phone, you'll see, hey, looking to sell your house or have a buyer for your house. Do you know if anybody looking to sell your house? So you'll get those ads specifically for the specific location. It's geofencing the area and it's targeted to specific people within the area. So if you've been looking to for houses in Florida, for example, I know that maybe potentially you're looking to sell. So I'm going to geofence you specifically because I know you've been looking at homes.com or realtor or zillow.com on houses in Florida. Maybe you are going to sell. So I'm going to then start tracking you online and see without totally bothering you, but really putting some ads in front of you to see if maybe you're looking to sell because I really have really good buyers for you. And so that's another way to do it.
It almost sounds like a fisherman, you know, who's knows that there's fish that are hungry in this area of the lake and putting some bait out there to see if they bite, right? I mean, that's a simplistic layman's view of it, right? I mean, it's kind of what you're doing.
You're using social media. So when you go on Facebook, you're going to see this ad. You know how many times you go to Nordstrom, you look at a coat, and then suddenly you go to Facebook, you see that specific coat on Facebook. That's what they're doing. They're actually chasing you over IP and try to tell you, hey, you didn't buy that coat. Maybe you still want to buy that coat. And it really is. It works. It's effective. You try to do it in a non-intrusive way, but it helps both sellers and buyers to actually find locations, find properties, ability to help my clients getting stuff that is off the market. Also, 10% of the agents do most of the business, right? So we know each other. I would say they do 90% of the business. So I call my fellow agents. We also are part of the top agent network where we send each other messages and say, hey, do you have anything coming up in this and this neighborhood? Because I have a really good qualified buyer. So we get stuff really, really quickly before it comes on the market. That's also another way because we share. It's important. But you don't reach out to 10,000, 14,000 agents in Washington Metropolitan. You reach out to the top agents in the area, mm-hmm. in that specific neighborhood.
What do you see in terms of what things are going to look like when we get through the backside of this whole pandemic situation that we're in terms of your industry?
Sure. So I do want to come back for 1 second about the sellers, because we have completely changed how we operate with listings and showing houses. We're using technology for online, how to position your house in the market in the best way, because all your buyers will search online. truth of the matter. So mm-hmm. you have amazing pictures, amazing virtual tour, 3D tour. We do laser measurements of your house and a floor plan and videos. And then I do a TV show where I put my houses on the TV as well, because I do have a TV show we can talk about. So there's so many new ways on how to put your house in the market without having so people see it.
Has any of that changed though? Has that changed at all because of the pandemic? Do you modify, you know, the photographs that you take, the strategies that you use to sell a property, or because it's so easy, it's just like hanging a big hunk of meat out in front of a bunch of hungry wolves?
So what I always say to people, listen. Yeah, you're going to sell your house. You're going to put the for sale sign. It probably will sell. But it will make a difference of like 10%, 15% on a sale price if you do it, the extra work, if you do it right. And when you have buyers out there, buyers don't just go and look at houses all day long because of COVID. They start online and they go from house to house to house to house. You have about a second to grab their attention. But if your picture has twilight shot with beautiful pink skies and the grass looks pretty, and right now it's winter and your azaleas are not in bloom, but I'm artificially blooming it. If you have pink azalea, I will make the pink azalea in bloom in the picture. If you don't have it, I won't put it, right? But if you have cherry tree in front of you, I'll make it bloom because it's important, because then the picture pops and you're like, perfect house. And that's where you want to grab those people's attention. And then to bring them over to the house, we have, of course, we're bringing one group at a time. Nobody touches anything. I have gloves for everybody, shoe covers, sanitizers, face masks. I have a whole kit. I call it the COVID kit in my car, and I put it in the house as well. And that's how we do. We protect everybody, and that's important as well.
What is it, if anything, are you preparing for? Do you see any changes coming down the road? You know, we're hearing about vaccines, whether it's going to be the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter of this year. But sooner or later, things are going to at least turn back toward normalcy. So what do you see as the effects on your industry when that happens?
David, it's such an important question, and it has so many facets on this answer. So I'll try to keep it brief. But first of all, when you can think about, again, I said it's all about psychology. So right now we have the second wave and you see no listings out there. We are so short in listings, and sellers, it's the best time for them to sell right now because there's no listings out there. Usually we have about 3,000 homes in the market in Montgomery County. We have less than 1,000. So it's 40% of listings versus what we usually have. Which is unbelievable. And the reason is because sellers saying, first of all, it's a second wave. I don't want to have anybody in my house. Second, we have vaccine right around the corner. So I'm just going to hunker down and wait. Okay, it's okay. I'll wait a few more months. We have vaccine. It's all going to end. So they don't want to list the house right now because of it. Also, it's a holiday. So what I'm crazy to do right now through the holidays, it's usually not a good time on the market. That's what they think. So sellers are not putting the house on the market, but those sellers eventually will sell. So coming down after vaccine, I think we're going to see a plethora of listings on the market. We're going to have so many listings. Are we going to switch from a seller's market to a buyer's market? That's going to be a question. Are the interest rates going to still stay there for us to have a great buyer demand? That's another question. Depends what they're going to do with the interest rates. And the third question will be is, what happened with those buyers? They've been looking, frustrated. And then we have vaccine. Let's just take time off. Let's just go vacation, have fun, see our parents, our grandparents, all grandchildren, all that stuff. And we're all going to be in euphoria, restaurants, fun, going places. Maybe they'll take off and not actually going to be so, obfuscated about buying a house at this point. A lot of question marks. And then the last question mark that I have is the forbearance. So we know that when the market hit, the government have enacted that we cannot do foreclosures. if you don't pay your mortgage, it's okay. You don't have to pay for 6 months. We're going to allow you to go in forbearance. And forbearance means that you don't have to pay the mortgage. You're not going to get a penalty for 6 months, and we're not going to foreclose on you. That forbearance period ends end of this month. There are 3.6 million people in forbearance, which accounts for about almost 7% of the houses in the United States. So if you think about it, almost 7% of the houses in the United States are not paying mortgages. And end of December, it ends. Now, all these people who didn't pay the mortgage, can they now pay mortgage? Are they still, did they got the job back? Are they in trouble? Can they pay a little more to cover what they didn't pay before? Can they pay back what they didn't pay? Are we going to allow them to pay it over 30 years, just a little more? Or are we just going to extend their mortgage period? Are we going to ask them to pay lump sum? And all these questions are big because it's 3.6 million people, 7% of their houses in the area. So if those people, some of them, if it's 5%, 2%, whatever it is, cannot pay and come whole with their mortgage, we're going to see a surge of REOs or bank or foreclosures. That will take an effect in a year, and it won't take immediately, but that's something that sellers should think about. What is going to happen? Where the market? There's going to be effect on the economy and the COVID. Will it affect to a point where we're going to see a huge price adjustments, or is it going to be that somehow we're going to eventually be able to ride it? It's a big question.
Very interesting. Now, you mentioned people who are on loan modification. Obviously, there's some lawyers out there who do that kind of work, help people with loan modifications and pre-foreclosure issues and so forth. Tell me a little bit about, I want to cover a little bit about your work and what you do in terms of working with lawyers, side-by-side lawyers, when lawyers pop up during the course of a transaction regularly and sometimes maybe not so regularly.
Yeah, well, lawyers are a very important, integral part of our business because they're partners with us because we have different situations. So sometimes you're talking about the estate and you need to help of a lawyer for that, how to divide. Sometimes it's divorce, which attorney is so important because we need a divorce decree. And we need the attorneys on both sides somehow smooth things up because divorce could be very tricky. Settlement attorneys are extremely important, and they represent the contracts, and sellers sometimes don't realize that they don't represent you specifically, not the buyer, not the seller. They represent the contract, and they want to make sure that whatever is in the contract is happening. So if there's arguments, we go back to the contract. And that's where it's really important to have a very knowledgeable settlement attorney who can actually smooth things up and explain to both parties when we have that situation. And then if we are going to reach the forbearance period and loan modifications and short sales, which I've done a lot of those, you know, some of those people may be selling their house because they can't pay the mortgage. Some of these people may be upside down on the mortgage, and we're going to have to work on a short sale. Some of these people be able to modify their loan, and some will have to go to foreclosure. So it really is important to immediately, if you're in trouble, if you're not sure you can pay your mortgage, to immediately not wait until you are behind. To talk to an attorney, talk to a real estate agent who knows how to point you to the right place, to the right attorney, to do the short sale, to do the loan modifications, to be responsible, or it's really going to hurt your credit for a long, long time.
All right, Nurit, this has been great. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Now, I know you now are affiliated with a firm that's nationwide. So if folks have, although you physically are here in the DC area, I assume that anyone who's listening could reach out to you wherever they are, and you could either help them or direct them to someone in your firm who might be able to help. So what would be the best way for someone, if they had a question, to follow up on something that we talked about today, or maybe was interested in and listing their home for sale or buying? What's the best way for those people to get hold of you?
Sure. So, you know, they can call me anytime, by the way. I love what I do. I absolutely love what I do. And I love helping people. And even if they want to know, you know, sometimes it's when do I prepare to sell? What do I do? How in advance? Any question is a good question. I'm very happy to help anybody. Nationwide, you're right. We have a big network. And I know top agents in every state, every city out there, because we all meet once a year in the market, in the luxury market, in the conferences, and we're all best friends. So I can help. To reach me, 301-346-5252 is my cell. Be happy to give you my cell. I'm 24/7 agent. I love what I do, yes. So, but my email is Nareet@teamnareet.com. T-E-A-M, Nareet. So, and like Nancy, U-R-I-T. Nareet@teamnareet.com.
Thank you again so much, Nareet. It's been great. Thanks to everyone out there for joining us. Hope to see you or hear from you next time on JGL Law for You. I'm David Bullitt, and that's all for today.